You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Disease is Our Podcast. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, and in this episode, I spoke with Dr. Charlie Barton about equine joint health and therapies, including biologics, gene therapy, and more. This episode of Disease du Jour is brought to you by Equithrive. Dr. Charlie Barton earned her veterinary degree from the Royal Veterinary College in London, and after completing two internships in the U.S., undertook a surgery residency at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. After residency, Barton stayed on at CSU as a postdoctoral fellow, and her research interests include cartilage repair techniques and gene therapy. Thank you, Dr. Barton, for joining us.
Yes, of course. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really excited to hear from you about some of your areas of expertise on this topic. To get us started, when a practitioner is evaluating a horse with a suspected joint disease, what diagnostic steps are most important for accurately defining the disease process and then guiding some of our treatment decisions?
So I think all of the steps of the musculoskeletal exam and also lameness assessments are really important to use together to get to your final diagnosis. So careful palpation of the horse can help to highlight some subtle effusion in a joint or maybe a pain response somewhere. And then using that in combination with a thorough lameness exam that uses diagnostic blocking to help you localize that lameness further to a very specific area. And then using the appropriate diagnostic imaging that helps guide you to the final diagnosis. So I think it's a very iterative process where each diagnostic tool is used in combination to help build the full clinical picture of what's going on with that horse.
Now, once you have that clinical picture, how do you start to narrow down your treatment approaches? Because we have so many options available now between our biologics and our more traditional corticosteroids. So what does your approach in that area look like?
So I think it really depends on quite a lot of factors and then also the individual case that we're looking at. So things to take into consideration is really the age of the horse, the horse's job. So if it's a performance horse versus a retired horse, for example, the budget of the client as well. So if we're leaning more towards biologics or cellular therapy, they're pretty significantly more expensive than steroids would be. And then we also look at things like the response of the horse to previous treatments, if something worked really well or if something didn't really have as good as an effect as we'd hoped. And then also its history, how often it's being treated, when it was last treated as well. And then there's definitely more specific things about the joint that's being treated too. So if it's a high motion joint versus a low motion joint, like the distal hock joints, you might be more likely to reach for steroids. And then also assessing the horse's phenotype, if it has any metabolic disease, history of laminitis, those things might steer you away from steroids as well. And then kind of all of these factors come into play. We discuss with the client to see what their goals and expectations are as well. And then that helps us come up with a recommendation and then a treatment plan for how we're going to treat that horse.
You mentioned age of the horse as being a factor. Do certain ages of horses respond better to certain types of treatments?
Not so much that they respond better or worse, but with a young performance horse, we're thinking more about longevity and cartilage preservation versus that older retired horse, where we're maybe thinking a little bit more about just trying to keep them comfortable if they're retired into a pasture. So for a younger horse, I'd be more likely to reach for a biologic because we know that we have things in the biologic that's going to help with inflammation and also help stimulate repair in the joint that can all be really helpful. So for younger horses, I think leaning towards biologics is beneficial.
Okay. So how does our understanding of articular cartilage and its healing capacity help inform our treatment timing and expectations? And what does the current evidence tell us about when we should start to intervene with some of these regenerative therapies?
So we know that we cannot stimulate repair of the articular cartilage once it's damaged. So the cartilage will heal with fibrocartilage, and that doesn't have the same mechanical or functional properties as the original cartilage. So there's things that we can do that improves healing to help make better quality and maybe more consistent repair tissue, but it still won't be the same as the healthy cartilage that we had there originally. So cartilage lesions also cause lots of intra-articular inflammation. So treating the inflammation of the joint is really important to help try and slow progression of lesions and also further joint deterioration. So in any case, it's helpful to try and treat early. The longer the inflammation's there, the more damage that it's likely going to do to that joint surface. And then expectations from treatment really depends on the individual case. So the size of the cartilage lesion that we're dealing with, much bigger lesions are more challenging to deal with than smaller ones. Also the area in the joint, whether it's a weight-bearing surface or a non-weight-bearing surface. And then, as I said before, the stage at which it's treated, if it's very early, where there's minimal damage to the joint versus late stage, where there's quite a lot of damage. So in all cases, as I said, generally early detection and treatment is helpful, but expectation really depends on the individual case.
Yeah. Are there certain types or locations specifically where you're a little bit more optimistic about some of these lesions?
So I think any joint disease can represent a challenge for treatment. Big lesions on weight-bearing aspects of the joint can definitely be harder to treat and then to maintain longer-term soundness as well. And also if there's joint damage that has some additional soft tissue damage as well. So thinking about the stifle where we have the meniscus and the ligaments in the stifle as well. Damage to those can make it harder to treat and also to maintain soundness. So often these cases need a combination of therapeutics, so things like surgery, biologics or cellular therapies, and then also rehab as well. So I think it really depends. There's no specific location that has a better outcome than others. I think it really depends on the individual case.
Yep. This podcast is brought to you by Equithrive. Exercise-induced oxidative stress is a key physiologic challenge in performance horses, contributing to muscle fatigue, delayed recovery, and reduced training consistency. Equithrive antioxidant pellets provide a multi-pathway antioxidant strategy designed to support cellular integrity and rapid recovery during repeated bouts of high-intensity work. For veterinarians and trainers managing horses in regular demanding work, Equithrive antioxidant pellets offer precise nutritional support where performance begins, at the cellular level. Use promo code DUJOUR, that's DUJOUR, to get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at equithrive.com. I know that one of your big research focuses is on gene therapy for some of these cases. Can you explain what types of gene therapy approaches are currently being investigated and how these differ from our traditional approaches and our biologic options?
So there's quite a few different gene therapeutic approaches that are all being researched and under investigation. There's quite a lot of preclinical experimental studies happening in horses, but it's all very early, but it could represent a really good option for joint disease for horses in the future. So gene therapy works by injecting the joint with a viral vector. The viral vector enters the cells of the joint, and then it basically makes those cells produce lots of specific therapeutic protein. So the protein that's produced is the same as what the horse will naturally produce, but just in much higher concentrations. So I think a good example is IL-1RA. So that's the main protein in a lot of biologics. We know that it helps to reduce joint inflammation and also stimulate repair. But with gene therapy, you can make the cells of the joint produce that protein, and you can get very high levels compared to biologics. And then also the IL-1 array hangs around for a bit longer than if you're injecting it in a biologic. So in humans, there's a lot of multiple phase one clinical trials that are underway for gene therapy products, and some of those are using IL-1 array. So it'll be interesting to see how those products go. Maybe eventually they'll be on the market for humans. And it would be really cool to see that therapy as well translate back to horses, especially as a lot of the early work was done in horses. And it also could represent a really good option for horses with osteoarthritis.
So are we still in the pretty early stages of researching this and implementing it for horses?
Yes, there's a lot of like lab benchtop-based studies looking at cells to see how the cells respond to gene therapy. There's also safety studies showing that it's safe, but there's still work to be done to try and make it more efficient and then also more affordable. It's currently going to be quite expensive, so making sure that it's affordable is going to be key to being able to bring that back to horses. So early, but also promising.
Right. It might be a little early to say, but do you think this is something that will be used in combination with some of our other therapies, or will this be more of a standalone treatment option?
So hopefully it would be a standalone treatment option, and hopefully more of a you inject once and then you get very high levels of that therapeutic protein for a long time. So it hopefully will mitigate the need to repeat dose joints as well. So I think that obviously the goal is to have a single standalone treatment that can slow the progression of OA and hopefully inhibit any further joint deterioration that's happening. But it'll be interesting to see how that translates clinically from the experimental studies.
Yeah, definitely something that's going to be interesting to follow as that progresses. Now, I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, but I would love to know more about how you tailor your treatment approach based on horses at different ages and career stages, you know, from some of our young pre-career horses, like our yearlings and our two-year-olds, to our more active performance horses and then our senior horses.
So the horses' needs will change as their workload changes, and then also the owner's or rider's expectation of the horse changes as well. So the retired older horse doesn't need to be in high performance like that young show horse needs to be. And then also longevity and cartilage preservation is really important in those young performance horses. So biologics typically tend to be a really good choice for those. Whereas in the older horse, where you're maybe just trying to maintain comfort for pasture soundness, you may opt for a steroid. But there's definitely cases where you may choose a different approach based upon that individual case. So it's quite hard to generalize as well. And some of the things I mentioned earlier come into play as well. So the horse's metabolic status and also a history of injections. If you're finding yourself injecting a lot, then you would probably reach for a different therapeutic to see if something is a little bit more efficacious. And then in the metabolic horse or a horse that has a history of laminitis, again, a biologic might be a much better choice for those horses. So it really does depend on the individual horse, but definitely the career stage is important to think about too, especially with those young horses that have a hopefully long and successful career ahead of them.
Yeah. How do you manage implementing some of these treatment options with our performance horses that have busy competition schedules and are in quite a bit of work? Because we obviously want to preserve the joint, but we also want to maintain athletic function. So how do you sort of manage that balancing act?
So in these horses, I think it's important to think of kind of the whole horse as well as that individual joint. So yes, you're definitely going to be treating the joint with whichever treatment makes sense for that case. But it's also important to tailor the horse's training program to the horse, as well as the severity of osteoarthritis and the lameness that they're showing. So make sure that kind of you're managing expectations based upon the horse's stage of osteoarthritis, and then being careful about other things. So the surface that the horse is training on, and then maintaining things like good foot angles and maintaining regular farrowry will really help with longevity as well. And then it's also important to think about performing strengthening exercises, making sure that the horses are staying kind of fit and are building muscle, and then that will also help support them. So definitely in these athletic horses, thinking about the horse as a whole, as well as just that individual joint, is important for them.
Are there any other emerging therapies or techniques for managing osteoarthritis that you want to highlight that might change how we manage joint disease in the coming years?
So there's definitely a lot of new therapies for both osteoarthritis and cartilage lesions that are going through various experimental studies and that are also being used in human that I think are really exciting. There's definitely some allergenic, biological and cellular off-the-shelf injectable products that are being tested. And these have the goal of making biologics easier to use, more accessible, and then also cheaper. So rather than having to pull blood from the horse and then process it, these products are ready to be injected. So I think those we might see gain popularity in the coming years. And then more for cartilage lesions on a surgical side, things like hydrogels and then also some cartilage implants could definitely change how we manage those lesions. The horse often acts as a translational model for human therapies. And so it would be really exciting if we saw some of the therapies that have kind of preclinically been used in the horse and then translated into humans. It would be cool to see those kind of move their way back to the horse and be used a little bit more clinically as well.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you look back over the past few years, just how many more options are available now compared to a decade ago.
Yeah, definitely. No, big progress has been made, but I think we're still trying to find that perfect treatment, especially for cartilage lesions that repairs their cartilage surface and is as good as what was there initially. So we definitely have more options. But I think the challenge is that it's still incredibly challenging to get good repair tissue in those cartilage lesions. So definitely made huge progress, but there's still some more progress there that needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything else that you would like to add on this topic or about any of your research before we wrap up today?
I think it's a really exciting and interesting topic. We've definitely made a lot of progress in this area. We know a lot more about managing joint disease and helping cartilage lesions to heal and managing longer term osteoarthritis. But I'm also really excited about some of the work that's coming through. And hopefully we can have even better outcomes and have even more beneficial therapies for our horses.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much, Dr. Barton, for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
It was lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I would like to say a big thank you again to Dr. Barton for joining us, and thank you to Equithrai for supporting this episode. And as always, thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Disease Du Jour. If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, please send me an email at csisson@equinenetwork.com.